The season is ripping right along as LAFC in the midst of a rare mini little homestand, which we will break into after drawing with the Red Bulls. They'll have Portland after they played them 2 weeks ago coming to BMO Stadium this week. And this is Inside LAFC Podcast. Glad you could have us. Glad you could join us. Reminder, rate, review, download, subscribe. And it is Jordan Harvey in the co-host seat. Greetings, Jordan.
Back. Let's do this. I'm looking like what we have in store. You're always tripping me on the flashbacks. What do we call them?
Black and gold rewind.
Boom. I'm eager to see what we got today.
Well, you weren't here when we named it the first time. My wife was here and we were with Beta, and my wife technically came up with it, and she actually brought it up today, said, "Hey, how's Black and Gold Rewind? That's a great name." I go, pump the brakes there.
She wants residuals.
She wants residuals. Not going to happen. She might get residuals, but I'll be the middleman there. Let's get right into it, Jordan, and talk about the Red Bulls game, because this was, you know, the Red Bulls have been hot and cold lately, but everyone seemed prepared that this was going to be a stern challenge. They had Emil Forsberg. They're playing well. They're beating teams away, and they were looking for an impressive win here before the Denny Bouanga goal. So it's not the 3 points as you would like. But we were there at the stadium. It certainly had to feel pretty good because it could have been worse. And we should probably give the Red Bulls their fair share of credit. As Steve said afterwards, it's a tough team to break down.
Yeah, they were very conservative, very compact, and they were looking to have their chances on the break and then set pieces as they did. And so they did have a few chances there in the second half, just off the break transition moments, but they ultimately got their goals and set pieces. Some mistakes, obviously, Eddie Segura coming in off the bench, having that own goal, very unlucky, but he settled into his own there. And then the set piece in the second half. But it was promising from LAFC to be able to come from behind twice. And you saw some patience. And I think in this game in particular, it was going to take a number of passes to kind of go around them, then come back inside and really break down Red Bull, who was very disciplined on the day. And so you do have to give them credit. But I do think, I think a lot of fans, and I've talked to a lot of people after the game, it was kind of boring that first half, but it was like, for me, we were one pass away from really just going down their throats. And it was just maybe one missed pass in our own half or in the middle block that ultimately didn't get us there, but we were that close given the way we were possessing the ball and really controlling the game.
As I was broadcasting that game as part of our MLS season pass on Apple TV, it's you mentioned how they're compact, and when you get to see them from above, and yeah, you see how they I mean, it's just like a block. It looks like a cinder block, and they're there and they want you to play outside. And LAFC, to their credit, they would go outside when it's given, but they're trying to break in there through the middle of the park. And as you said, one pass away, but eventually found some space there, which I think is a positive sign, because that's a team that play. I mean, everyone could play that kind of compactness, but the Red Bulls are really good at it.
Yeah, they've been doing it for a number of years, and it's their style from every team that they have. Leipzig, Salzburg, it's a lot of really strong, powerful, endurance athletes that are just going to run all day. And so they go in packs and they work in transition. They go straight down the middle when they are playing, very direct. And they it's organized chaos. And you've seen St. Louis to a certain extent, same thing. Philly Union, similar thing. But it's opportunistic football, and on the day they got two set pieces that I know LAFC and we really pride ourselves on. And so it's going to be disappointing, but the team will come back in, and I know Mark Dos Santos, who is very good at set pieces, will have solutions and move on and be better for it.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about the set pieces, but then I didn't, because I think LAFC has been good defending them. They got unlucky here on two corner kicks, one. Certainly the second one was a little sloppy, and the ball bounced around. And the first one coming off the Aaron Long injury, I can't imagine what players react to when you see the guy's been down there for a bit. Aaron's going to be out a little bit, but it's nothing too serious, we can tell you. But it's also Eddie coming in. And as you said, Eddie played well. But it's to come in and face that, that's a really tough spot for him.
Yeah, and I think, and I don't know if we're transitioning. I know we wanted to talk about LAFC too, but it's the preparation for that, right? Coming into a game, Eddie hasn't gotten regular minutes. He's come in and got some sparing minutes, even at right back at times. But he comes in and yeah, you're kind of jumping right into the fire. And yeah, it was unfortunate. But again, all the advantages that you get when you bring in an Eddie Segura is his passing. And I thought right after that, he really came into his own. He's a veteran, so he let that kind of fall to the wayside and really had a good game after that. And, you know, in the event Aaron does miss more than one or two games, you know, it'll be nice that Eddie actually came into his own. A silver lining, if you will, is him getting these minutes and looking good, really looking really strong out there. And Max Chanot, I thought he had a good game. Two very good center backs on the ball, which, you know, I think you saw that in the game. They possessed the ball very well and were able to work through Ilie in the midfield and create chances, you know, from maybe one pass breaking the lines and actually opening up the game.
And that's probably going to be the starting pairing, you would think. We can't confirm that, but with Aaron and Jesus Murillo didn't play this game. So the new center back pairing will be Eddie and Maxime Chanot. And I probably didn't mention it earlier, but Maxime's going to join us here on Inside LAFC podcast a little bit later. So we'll talk about him. And he's a little bit up there in years. Yes. And he came back from French football and LAFC identified him as a guy to add depth. But it's depth is to jump in situations when required. I thought it went pretty smoothly. And you could see this guy, you know, been around, knows how to knows what is required. And it's gonna be different because defensively they're gonna face a team that faces a lot of goals in the Timbers. But this is depth at play. And you talked about Eddie playing almost a full 90 for LAFC 2 against Ventura. Ventura County Football Club in MLS Next Pro. And this is it, the next man up philosophy.
Absolutely. And that's one of the reasons why you have a second team and a second team in your market, because you have that flexibility. Any training session, bringing up a guy like Lewis Mueller, right? Who's training a number of times now with the first team, which is increasing his level and his development, and a number of LAFC 2 guys. But then you also have in a game setting, someone like Eddie Segura, who you know you're going to need to call on at some point this season. So then you bring him down to get some minutes. And you saw Eric Duenas, Nathan Ordaz, Tommy Angel. You have Abraham Romero, who's getting games as well, along with Eddie. So you're getting a number of guys who are going – you're going to see with the first team, along with some LAFC 2 guys, getting real minutes in a real game. And really, it was actually very good competition too. We actually played LA Galaxy. It was a very intense game and, guys really played well and they get something from that. They get a little momentum, they get a little confidence. And then when you jump into a game like LAFC, you know, against Red Bull, you're that much ready for it.
I want to talk about Mueller because everyone was raving about him. It was a small cameo, and we'll talk LAFC too. But before we close the book on what happened on against the Red Bulls, a little Mateus magic. He scored the two goals against the Portland Timbers, and Maddie, because of the suspension, Eduardo Tuesta comes back to the midfield, which is his natural position. This is a big job for him. I mean, this was a guy that didn't play every game in 2023, but they have given him a lot of responsibility and he is responding very well. And now Eduardo Tuesta comes back. We'll see what that looks like. But that's again, this what we're seeing from Maddie from your perspective from 2023 to 2024. Where are those things? Because you're there training all the time. Where are those things that you've seen the improvement the most?
Well, you know, We knew he was versatile. We knew he could play out wide. We knew he could play as a nine or as an eight. I think for me, and everybody kind of has their own opinion with this, and I think more people lean towards this, he's an amazing eight because of the qualities he has. Always on the half turn. If you watch his game, he's always receiving the ball where he's now moving forward with it and turning forward. It's something that not many people notice. if you're listening right now and you watch this and you really think about it, he's always getting the ball turning and going forward, which is something that is unique, and he does it so effortlessly. And it's something in LAFC style as an eight is so damn important, because you're turning and then finding the wingers or the nine that's running on. So he finds these half spaces very well. His versatility, you know, I think he's just, it's another year. It's being comfortable in LA. It's being comfortable with what the coaching staff is asking of him, which is a lot, like you said, playing a couple different positions. But he's a footballer through and through. And that's something that is so important to have on an MLS roster, is somebody that can really fill holes when you have them. But, you know, I do think his best position is as an eight and able to really create from those pockets. And something, again, that sounds silly, but he always wants the ball and always tries to be available to get the ball, which is something that when you have young players maybe, or if you have a team that someone's hiding, it really throws a wrench in what you're trying to do. But he is always trying to get on the ball, which is important.
I think he's had about he has taken 45, 46 corner kicks, if I'm correct, because LAFC has taken a lot. And he has taken them with Edward. He took all of them, I think all of them, against the Red Bulls. And we'll see what happens with Edward out. But it seems like that's his gig as well, as they pile on more stuff. And he's been ready for it, but he takes a lot of the set pieces. He hit the free kick goal against the Timbers a couple of weeks ago also.
Yeah, yeah. And I think the Red Bull game, there were a few that he hit too short. But overall, I think he's been very good at set pieces. And then, as you mentioned, free kicks, direct free kicks. Man, what an amazing free kick he had in Portland. And you've seen this. When this guy cuts in to his right, he almost looks like De Bruyne in that dipping ball that just kind of you see it. And every time it's like Carlos Vela to a certain extent coming into his left. But once if he can find that little pocket of space, get the ball out from under him and actually step into it, it's a really beautiful strike that he has.
I like that De Bruyne call, who was once at BMO Stadium. I was up there by the field club. He walks by so nonchalantly, like he's walking into Best Buy. I go, "You're Kevin De Bruyne." He goes, "I'm just watching the game."
That was back in the day. I think he was visiting Laurent. I remember that. I remember that because I
double take it. Whoa! And he was dressed like he got out of the gym. It was very chill.
Yeah, I was like picking up my daughter, and I took a double take. I was like, "Oh man, all right."
Me too.
Yeah, let's go.
Okay, we're going to talk about the kids now, and we've got to talk about Lewis Mueller, because a lot of people knew about him, but he scores 4 goals in MLS Next Pro. Much like Matty, free kick goals, finding different ways to score. So you're there at all the games, you're at the trainings. I've been able to come in there and see a couple of the games at Titan Stadium, and we'll talk about the game coming up this weekend as well. This is a superb talent, not a young player, right? He's not at 16, 17. He's like a man. He's 23 years old, and he's come to Los Angeles, and now he's fallen in with LAFC.
Yeah, well, he's played at Cal Baptist. So he has played some college ball. You know, he comes from Germany, came to get his education, to play collegiately. And then he was kind of on his way to UCLA. And we had watched him before the draft and noticed him as someone that could really contribute to our second team. And we were looking to draft him, but we had other needs. We had different needs within that we needed to look into prior. And then we had our coaching staff, Junior Gonzalez, came in and also raised, "Hey, I know this player." And so we looked into it. And, you know, to his credit, Lewis was very interested in the opportunity. And so as we kind of went down this road, we pegged him as someone that was obviously slightly older, maybe 2-3 years older than probably our average age. But we needed someone like him that could kind of close the gap. We have a lot of academy players. And Lewis, as you said, is 20, just turned 23. And he's close to that first team level, and he's certainly physically there already. And so, you know, it's raising the level of the second team. It's someone that can offer consistent minutes across the top three. He can play on the left, right, even as a nine. He also has an amazing free kick ability. He had an amazing free kick goal in the last MLS Next Pro game for LAFC2. And so he's, yeah, and the coaching staff really likes him. And it's funny.
I see why.
Ante Razov and Ante could strike a ball. And that's the first thing he told me is like, man, he really lays into it. Like he has a very good strike. And physically, again, he gets the ball on the move. You saw it in the Red Bull game where 1v1, he is very good. And so he got that ball in the box, actually shifted a little bit. I think he could have really laid into it, but they had the second defender coming. But he was able to try to squeeze it in near post. But he came in and made an impact, and it was very good. And that's exactly our expectations with him coming in. I think at this point, he's exceeding those expectations.
Oh, yeah.
And so, you know, he's scoring goals at the second team level, which is making first team take notice, and everybody is.
Almost got that goal. I mean, Carlos Coronel got a paw on it, hit the near post, but it could have imagined how different this game could have been. But I love how he seized his opportunity. It wasn't a lot of time. It was a small window, and he went in there. And by the way, it was a real good German feel to that Red Bulls game. Sandro Schwarz, who is the Red Bulls coach, and Steve Cherundolo were talking for like 10 minutes before, then afterwards for 10 minutes. I love having all this German know-how here. These are really good. And then Mueller coming over. But what a great story. I mean, just to find out how he arrived so close to getting drafted and then those connections stay in place. It's just a reminder of where you can find that talent. And I would imagine he might get his shot. We'll see how this club fleshes out, but maybe you would have to think more opportunities lie ahead, certainly to at least make the 18 and maybe get on the field.
Yeah, and to his credit, when we approached him with this opportunity, he wanted to take it, and he did everything he could in his power to be a part of LAFC2. And so that was amazing. And like a season does, there's injuries. And so with Martinez going down, you know, we wouldn't have seen Mueller, in all honesty. So he has an opportunity, he takes it, and hopefully he has more, because that's an amazing thing to have his debut so early in the season. I don't know if he even expected it, but he's taking every training session, every game very seriously. And I think there's more to come from him.
The LAFC2 group, as we saw, you know, it was a very strong team that faced and beat Ventura County Football Club. And we saw those guys, Eddie getting the minutes. We talked about that, and Mueller and
Tommy Angel or Daz.
Tommy Angel, of course. Yes. Who am I missing? Duenas, Eric Duenas. But this is a good group. And we'll talk a little bit more because they have a game. LAFC2 will play the Timbers 2. That'll be Sunday at 1 o'clock local time at Titan Stadium. And you were mentioning that this is, as we preview the Timbers, this is a big opportunity because every level, LAFC and Portland are going to be meeting over this weekend.
Yeah, so our academy is playing a few different games against the Portland Academy. The second team is playing that Sunday as well in the afternoon. And then the first team is obviously playing on Saturday. So this is something that, you know, when you talk to the league, this is real alignment. And it's very cool because that way everyone gets opportunities. And you can see it as a fan. I think it's very cool because then you're really putting an organization up against another organization or a club versus a club, right? And so you could go a whole weekend and just get your full dose of what that club looks like from top to bottom and LAFC. So it's really cool that there is this alignment. We've asked for more of this just because we have a first team. And then even if we're on the road together, then you have those players that hang back one more day and can get some minutes with the second team. And then even now for us with the academy, we call up a number of academy players to contribute with the second team in the event that they don't play. Maybe they can take part in the academy game later that afternoon. So it's real alignment. It's going to be really cool. I'll be at probably all of them. and so, yeah, really looking forward to it. But the LAFC2 season's been going very well. Junior Gonzalez, Fabian Sandoval, Clayne Plummer. We have a new addition doing more player development program, but working really closely with the second team, which is Danny Califf, which is very exciting. A former MLS guy with a number of different clubs, national team guy, played in Denmark. So he's bringing his wealth of experience and knowledge on and off the field So he works closely with our high potential players and all of our LAFC 2 players. So it's very exciting to bring him on board. So it's really getting the resources to create development opportunities for all of our talented players and all of them. It's really a melting pot with that LAFC 2 group.
I did another double take when I saw Danny Califf at the PC. I got, because I used to call his games. So it was great to see him. He's a wonderful guy and he was a fantastic defender. More know-how to pass on to the kids. So that's very exciting. And LAFC 2, 3-1-1. Get out to BMO Stadium Saturday. Get out to Titan Stadium. It's a fun little afternoon to see these guys, and they're playing really well. And you'll see some guys that will be playing for the first team. And that's what it's all about. As you said, connecting the dots here. Time for Black and Gold Rewind. We're going to go maybe an unexpected game in many ways. It's against the Timbers. We'll preview that game in a minute. But, Jordan, we're going to go back to 2020, the COVID year. Empty stadiums, pumped in music to disguise the lack of fans. This was decision day, a 1-1 result. And I want to talk about the game, but just we're in 2024. And sometimes you feel like that COVID era, that COVID stretch never happened, but it did. Did you ever get used to it where you those empty stadiums or dealing with that or some weird travel? I mean, you played the Timbers 4 times that year because they were trying to keep everyone close.
Yeah. Wow. No, it never got normal, nor did it ever really reach the standard of having, you know, the 3252 and all our amazing LAFC fans in the stands when you're playing at then Bank and now BMO Stadium. So it was strange. I think they even, when you watch the games, they pumped in the fan noise, which is also even really weird.
Did you hear the fan noise, or that was just for us at
That was just for you guys at home. Which is funny. You know, I used to watch games back and be like, wait a second, that's strange. Off the shot, there was an applause. So it was really strange. The whole season was just strange. And then I believe we went straight into Champions League after that, which was back into another bubble, albeit with Carlos, who had a really great end of the season tournament there. And then this game against the Timbers, I do remember some very distinct moments in this game. And I think Carlos was just coming back. I think Christian Torres, that's right, Christian Torres started this game along with maybe the playoff game that we went into against Seattle, which is a difficult one in Seattle. And then I think Eddie Segura played it right back.
Yes.
Which was very interesting. So, yeah, it was an amazing, you know, looking back at these lineups, pretty crazy. But, yeah, very good game. I don't know if you want to go on this or I just keep on my rant, but we absolutely battered them the first half.
You had the Carlos Vela goal. And by the way, Carlos hadn't played a lot, remember, and he came back and then had a great back end of 2020, but he scored 5 minutes in.
He scored 5 minutes in. Okay. And I think Diego Rossi had a chance early on off the post. I think Diego had maybe 2 off the post in the game. We had a number of chances the first 20 minutes that we could have been up 2-3-0. And, you know, as LAFC did back in those days, really, and Steve has brought more of a pragmatic approach when you're in the lead, maybe, you know, being more conservative. But we just full throttle in these games. And I think it was later in the game, still up 1-0, that they came down while we were on, like we had a chance and they came down and Villafania scored. I'll never forget it. I saw him last year.
He just retired. He announced his retirement.
I was last year at an LAFC 2 game in the stands. And the first thing I said to him, because I didn't know he retired, I was like, man, that goal in 2020 that you came down the length of the field and just tapped it in, that really killed us. That hurt our confidence going into the Seattle game. Ugh.
Oh, yeah. Jorge Villafania, an incredible story. He got his chance in MLS with Chivas USA because of a reality show. And then he had a long career, and I think he's still involved with the Timbers coaching. So it's a real
amazing story. An amazing career.
So. Yeah. Yeah, there's talent out there. It ended up 1-1, which meant you guys got the Sounders in the playoffs. Sounders would make MLS Cup, and I think everyone was happy that we were playing games, but it was odd. I got to tell you, late in the game, to talk about the chances, Jordan Harvey up the left side gets this nice little ball. Brian Rodriguez gets on the end of it. It could have, should have been two zip at the time.
And that's what led to the goal, Max. And this is why it makes me mad that I saw Viafania, and that's what came up for me because, a little fun fact. I think Bob, after that game, absolutely laid into me right after the game because he was very upset that cross wasn't exactly rolling on the ground.
He popped it up in the air.
It was a hard cross.
I liked it. I liked it. It had some venom on it.
Solid contact on it. I think a goalkeeper rebounded or something, and the ball came out to the top of the box. We had a missed play there. I'll talk to Mark Anthony Kay about that one. And then I think, Viafania, long ball back post, and we were all scrambling to get back. But, yes, thanks, Max. I do remember that. Bob laid into me for that one.
You have a good Bob impression, or we don't go there?
I don't have a good Bob impression. You know, I did a podcast during COVID with, Colin Hanks, and he has an amazing Bob impression. We got to get that. It's so good. I think it was like, football with ideas is nothing. It was something like that, to that effect. It was very good. It was very good.
Oh, brilliant. Everyone, we miss Bob. He's over in Norway coaching with Michael. He was great, man.
He was great. Yeah.
I mean, getting to play under him had to be huge for your development, not just because this was obviously the back end of your, at the end of your career, but what you'd be able to take out of that.
I absolutely loved it. And anytime somebody brings it up publicly or privately, I rave about that time because it was the most informative and very the most of an identity that I've ever had within a club. It was like things were told to you, and this is exactly what you need to do in each and every moment. And that's exactly what I needed as an older player, going, I can digest this, I can do it, I can implement anything that you ask of me. I'm just grateful that you're giving me something like, this is what you need to do, as opposed to like, hey, make this up, or hey, go attack. You know, okay, but what does that mean? All right, we're talking runs off the edge, we're talking half spaces. Like it was going back to school and learning from someone who I admire greatly. And it was I think I flourish under like a very disciplined and strict regiment, and Bob was just that. And so I liked the criticisms. I could take them in. I learned from them, and it made me that much more on top of my stuff. So, I loved every single moment of it. So
right on.
I talk about getting Bob coming at me, but that was a regular occurrence with a number of guys. So it wasn't like he was picking me out, but I definitely could have put that cross on the ground. I should have.
Well, that's the takeaway of this week's Black and Gold Rewind.
These rewinds, and I don't know how Beta approaches these, but they bring back like the weirdest memories, right?
We're trying to keep it. I'm not going to bring up a game that LAFC lost, but this was interesting because the end of the year. But again, it was there to have it.
Yeah, I know. Timbers at home have been very difficult for us.
Yeah.
We had the Open Cup game where Ebabise had a really strange goal that like deflected off somebody. He was in offside position, but they didn't count it. And just really strange home games against Portland. Now we're bringing up more stuff. I'm blanking his name. The very fast winger, Colombian.
By the way, I think Jesus Murillo was just getting into it.
Murray played in this game.
He played in this game. Let's take a look. You're talking for Portland, the fast Colombian.
Yes, he had a yellow. It was a one-on-one with our goalkeeper, and he should have gotten a second yellow and been sent off.
Oh, Dairon Asprilla.
Asprilla. He should have been sent off about 5 or 10 minutes before their goal. He came through, and Vermeer came and cleaned it up, and he kicked Vermeer in the head. He kicked Vermeer in the head, and it is a simple yellow card. The referee decided not to give it. It was a second yellow. He would have been tossed. We're talking 1-0. I don't even know who we would have played had we won that game, Max.
I think we'd play Portland.
We would have played Portland?
I think you would have got, because Portland was the 3 seed, so I think LAFC would have gone the 6, and I think they dropped to 7. So you could have been the 6 or the 4-5 game, which I think would have been Dallas. Don't hold me to it. But this has become a good therapy session for you guys, so you're welcome, and I'm not charging you anything for it. So,
that's true. But you're not really giving me any tools to deal with it. You're just letting me rehash it out.
Real quick about this game this weekend, and you, I think we touched on a lot of the things facing the Portland Timbers, and you said LAFC, it's not been so easy at home. It's always a tough matchup, and I can't imagine anyone's doing backflips of the schedule, the MLS schedule makers, to play this game 2 weeks afterwards. They're hungry. They just played Columbus. They should have probably beaten Columbus in their park. They've had some tough results. They score a lot of goals. They give up a lot of goals. But they're playing well, and they got a lot of good talent. You know, we've seen Evander in that game with his beautiful goal. He is like one of the better number 10s in my estimation. But just the schedule, I mean, for a player, I mean, you'd like to see, this is a big game. You'd maybe like to see it a little later, but we're getting it here 2 times in 2 weeks.
Yeah, I think I don't mind it with teams like Portland. I think if it was somebody like LA Galaxy, where you're playing back to back or in between, 1 week in between, I think that would be strange. But it's almost as if, and you see basketball, you see baseball, there's a bunch of teams. So it's very American thing, but like a series, right? Not that this is back to back, but you know, with one game in between, you've just done a scout on these guys at their place. So it's just bringing probably back up those same clips or going back to the review of Portland and probably going through that again. And, you know, what's interesting about it as a player is you play a team and there's probably a number of games in between, but there's a bunch of things that happen within a game that you remember and you can kind of go back to. But then when you play them the next time, maybe there's been 5, 6, 7 games, so you kind of forget some of them. So it'll be interesting that in such close succession, how both teams will come out or how Portland will come out, given how that game happened just so close. So everybody's kind of still in the same form. And you're right, they do have some quality players. Evander is somebody who, man, he's very talented. And some of the stuff that he does on the field, albeit, man, I still like our players over him. I wouldn't want him in LAFC's team.
I don't think I don't think it's a good spot for him in the 11 for LAFC. I truly believe that.
Yeah. I don't know where you'd put him out wide. He couldn't be an 8 because he doesn't have the work rate, but, he couldn't fit into LAFC, nor would I want him, but he's a very talented player and, I enjoy watching him play.
Right on. Well, there you go. We'll see what it looks like. But despite the fact they've played so close, I think it's a great point. There's a little mystery on how it's going to look, even though you've got it all in front of you. But we'll see it. You got the senior game Saturday. You got the LAFC 2, Portland Timbers 2. And we have the Academy game. So you have a busy weekend. Enjoy your week.
Let's try to make a clean slate there, Max. Let's just clean get slate. Them all. Let's
didn't want to mention club.football.club. They printed about 50 of these. I think there's 46 available.
Hey, self-promotion is the best promotion, Max.
I have one. My son has one. And then 2 other people bought them. But these are with the club.football.club. It's the Bretos Mentos Freshmaker shirt.
I got 2. Just when one
goes, no, you don't.
The other one. Yeah.
No, you don't. No, you don't. Nice try. I'll see if I can get you one. I want you to wear it on the pod. All right. Great stuff, Jordan. We'll enjoy this weekend. And we'll do this again very soon. Thanks for your intel. Jordan Harvey joining us. We will be back here on Inside LAFC Podcast. LAFC defender, new LAFC defender, Maxime Chanot joins us next on the pod. We are back here on Inside LAFC Podcast. Always great to welcome in another Maxime Chanot, who is now with the club officially, Maxime, because you made your first start against your old rivals, the Red Bulls. How did it feel to be back to start a game? I mean, this is why you came into LA, certainly.
I mean, I'm glad to be back in MLS, you know. That was something I was missing since I left the New York City Football Club beginning of last September. So it was like seven months ago. Obviously, I was glad to be on the pitch to start the game and, you know, to be involved into this team. That's something always special, especially for our first game. And as you said, playing against New York Red Bull, who used to be my biggest rival when I was at NYCFC. And everything was nice. Unfortunately, we didn't get the win. That's something like I was a little bit concerned at the end of the game. But overall, I was glad to be back on the pitch and compete for 90 minutes.
You said you were glad to be back in MLS, and you were with New York City FC 2016 to 2023. You played in Belgium. You played in England. And you mentioned it when you left New York City FC, and almost two decades away from home. And then you got the chance to go back to Corsica in France. That was important to you. Why was that important to be able to go back to where it all began to enjoy a spell in French football?
Yeah, as you say, because I left home when I was 14 years old because I moved to Stade de Reims in academy. So basically, I've been away from home for 20 years, I would say. So I've been traveling a lot because of soccer. Like I went to play in Sheffield United in England, in Belgium for 6 years, in France also, and in MLS in New York for almost 8 years. So having the chance to go back home, play in front of my family was something always I wanted to do it. So when that chance came, that opportunity came, I went to NYCFC front office and I just asked them to release me just to go back home. That was the plan. And I always gave my words to my family that one day I would have the chance maybe to play ahead of them, front of them. And that's exactly what happened by coming back to Ajaccio. But, how can I say that? I just became an American citizen 6 months ago, beginning of January, and I could tell you something. Obviously, Corsica is my home, but I would say I will consider myself more American now. So I was missing America so bad, and that's the reason why I make the move back to the MLS and to Los Angeles.
So you missed where you used to be from. You went back, and then when you're there, you go, I miss the United States. I miss America. I'm American.
I'm telling you guys, America is the best country in the world, no doubt. The mentality, everything, the lifestyle, and obviously the football, the soccer in MLS is just amazing. Every organization, stadium, the way we travel, training facilities, even the way we play in MLS, that's something I was missing after maybe 1 or 2 weeks when I was back in Corsica. So. Yeah, I'm so glad LAFC gave me the chance to come back to the MLS. And obviously, it's such a big club like Los Angeles Football Club. It's just an honor to be there. And yeah, let's see what's going to happen now.
And I want to say this, Maxime, because I've never been to Corsica, but I hear it is one of the most beautiful places on earth. A little island there surrounded by beautiful water, great weather. I mean, tell me a little bit about being from Corsica.
I mean, it's an amazing place, no doubt. But I think I was just too young to be in Corsica right now. I still got a lot of year to play into my belt. So going back now was pretty much too early in my career, I'm glad I made that move, It made me understand exactly what the life is back in Europe. And I don't want to be too rude, because don't make me wrong. I love Europe, I love France, I love Corsica, but I'm still a soccer player. And right now, the stage of my career, I think being in MLS is the right place for me to be.
Your mother is from Luxembourg, correct?
My grandmother.
Grandmother. So you represented Luxembourg. So I just want to mention this because I watch Luxembourg football and it's amazing. You don't play for them now, but you began a process where they're getting better and better. So the United States has 3.8 million square miles in size. Luxembourg, 1,000 square miles. Small country, but big football dreams. And I saw they almost qualified for the Euros. It must be great to be part of something small and make it so big.
Yes, I mean, it's very special for me because I've been there for such a long time in Luxembourg playing for the national team, and I saw the evolution from this team so much from, I would say, the last generation, which we were only three professional players into that squad, to where we are right now with every player now are professional. They all play away from Luxembourg. We improved a lot. We were very close to qualify for the Euro 2024 through the group stage, through the qualification and also through the National League. So it means the last 3 or 4 years, we have like fantastic results. We beat like several big teams. And yeah, I'm very glad to be part of the national team. You know, it's just to represent the country of my parents is also something like very emotional. And yeah, I'm glad to be there like a kind of big brother because I'm the oldest of this squad. And I like, you know, just to guide the youngest guy who all play in the big league, in Bundesliga, in French first division and whatever. They all play in a big clubs, but I like to share my experience and why not maybe try to get the qualification for the next World Cup. That would be a dream for all the country.
Maxime, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. And it helps because the World Cup's expanding. So we'll see Luxembourg on the big stage here soon. Okay, got you excited. We mentioned MLS, and you not only played here with the New York City FC, you won an MLS Cup with them. You won a Campeones Cup. And part of the reason LAFC wanted to bring you in is because you have that know-how. You know how this league operates. What does it require now that you're used to that? As a player, what do you need to be prepared for if you're a player coming from Europe to being able to be successful in MLS?
That's a very good question. I think I start to understand the league year after year. When I came here in 2016, I was 26 or 25 years old, so I was such a young guy, but I had already experience. I played already 5 or 6 years already in first division in Europe, so I had my experience. But I can tell you that I start to understand MLS season after season, you know? And what I understand in this league, first of all, is you have to make ready for the playoff. You have to make ready yourself for the playoff. That's something people maybe from Europe don't understand. I don't say you have to give up about the regular season because you have to be consistent and win games to qualify for the playoff. But what I understood in this league, the most important is maybe the last 10 to 12 games, which you have to start winning games consistently and to be just ready for the playoff. That's exactly when we've been successful with NYCFC, you know. Obviously, the league is tough, very good player. Tactically, I think now the coach are very high profile in the league, so they bring like a lot of experience, good tactics for the league. And yeah, physically also, you know, I mean, this league is tough. You have to be ready physically, technically, tactically. And yeah, it's a fun league because what I like also is teams try to score, not to protect their goal compared to Europe, which sometimes another team are happy to just like make a 0-0. But that's not how MLS works. And yes, it's a pleasant league and I really like to play under this league, obviously.
And when you were playing for Jacques Show and LAFC reached out to you, how did that go down? How did you find out? And when did you know that you were going to be coming to play for the black and gold?
I mean, it went pretty quick. I can't tell you every details, but obviously when LAFC contacted me, I was 100% convinced it was the right choice for me to go to sign for LAFC. As I say, it's such a big club, big organization. It's been so much successful the last few years. I like also the way they play. So when I had the chance maybe to join them, you know, it was a no-brainer decision. So yeah, I spoke to John and it's been a little bit more tricky than what we expected because of the season in Europe where the season was still on. Yeah. Sorry.
Still in season.
And so it wasn't so easy to for myself to get released from my Ajax show, but finally we found a way to do it. And I'm so proud and so glad to be there.
And joining LAFC, you have a French connection. Does that make it easier? Obviously, you have Hugo Lloris, Denis Bouanga was French-born, yourself as well. That is certainly helps the transition.
Definitely. I mean, I knew Denis from France. You know, we play against each other, like especially when we play against LAFC in preseason last year too. Obviously, everybody knows Hugo. I didn't know him personally, but the way he welcomed me was amazing. But also the fact, like, I've been in this league for, as I say, like eight or nine seasons, which I know pretty much every player into this changing room I play against. Like, thinking about Aaron Long, which I compete against him when he was at New York Red Bull. I like different players, so he helped myself to feel good into this changing room. Everybody welcomed me very well, and now what I want to do is just to give them back on the pitch.
Brilliant. Well, Maxime, we're thrilled to have you, and I know we'll see more of you in the weeks ahead. And if you need any LA tips, you got a good support system here. Enjoy the city. Enjoy the club.
Thank you very much, guys. And yeah, let's go LAFC.
There it is. Maxime Chanot joining us here on Inside LAFC Podcast. That's all the time we have for this week. Join again next week. We'll recap Timbers and get you ready as LAFC hits the road. Until then, rate, review, download, subscribe, tell a friend. We'll see you soon.